What development in state politics would you like to weigh in on during this edition of The Week in Review? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have two guests from different perspectives to discuss and debate the issues in the news this week and the developments in the races for Wisconsin governor, attorney general, and other contests. What is on your mind? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests on this Halloween edition of The Week in Review. Chris Lotto is a former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant. Happy Halloween, Chris.
Happy Halloween, Joy.
And Christine Bremer-Moogley is with us, attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, a representative to the Democratic National Committee, and was a member of the Electoral College in 2008 and 2012. Happy Halloween, Christine.
Well, hi, Joy. My pumpkins are covered with snow.
How much snow did you get?
I'm looking on my deck. It looks about an inch, a little bit more.
My flowers
are crying to me, and my pumpkins are covered in snow.
Very scary. I woke up this morning and stepped out on my porch, and I saw this snow swirling around, and my car, which is not in a garage, was covered in snow. And Chris, driving over from Exonia, snow on the ground.
Yeah, there's a great golf course called the Oaks outside of Madison, and the flags are still in, and it was covered with snow. And I said, I'm done golfing for the year. This could be it.
Yeah, it says here we're going to have highs today only in the mid to upper 30s, but then it's supposed to warm up a little bit after today. So, but wow. Well, let's see. Other scary things. Lots of developments in state politics this week. The latest Marquette University Law School poll, which came out on Wednesday, shows Governor Walker taking the lead over Mary Burke among likely voters. It's been tied or in a dead heat most of the year. As of 2 weeks ago, it was 47-47. For likely voters, but now Governor Walker has taken the lead 50% to 43% over Mary Burke among likely voters. Chris Lotto, what do you attribute this change?
I think it's the maybe small group of undecideds out there who are finally, you know, maybe breaking his way. Maybe the things that the Burke campaign has kind of fumbled, the jobs plan plagiarism and things like that are kind of sinking in with people. Maybe they feel that they just don't know her well enough and don't feel confident enough in her abilities to sort of lead the state forward and focus on the key issues that people care about. You know, the Marquette poll is a pretty well-respected poll, and I think that when you show a margin like this that's outside the margin of error, and we've seen aggregators of polling all over the place, you know, the Huffington Post on the left, and there are others out there that show Walker holding on to a lead, albeit slight. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be about making sure that turnout is you know, high for both candidates. You know, that's why you see President Obama showing up and stumping for Mary Burke in Milwaukee, because everybody's going to go back to their base and make sure that everybody who can turn out is going to turn out. It's a good sign. You wouldn't want to jinx anything by saying he's got it in the bag. I don't think anybody thinks that, and I think the candidates are prepared for a close one, but it's certainly encouraging.
Do you think, Christine, that the race has changed that much in a couple of weeks?
No, you know, I absolutely don't. And I think that Chris, I really agree with you. This is about turnout, because, you know, I think people that watch the polls, and if you look at all of the polls that have been recent, you look at the listing on Real Clear Politics that wonky people like Chris and I probably look at, the polls have been, you know, they've been 1 point apart almost all the way through. And then we get this outlier that comes in kind of frightening in Halloween week from Marquette, and it's talking about likely voters. And no one wants to point to the fact that registered voters polled are still 1 point apart. So when we look at the likely voter screen, you know, this is where the big difference is. You know, this poll, I don't think people really understand how likely voters were screened here. You weren't declared a likely voter unless you said you were 100% certain you were going to vote. And if you said I'm 50-50 going to vote, or I'm likely going to go vote, or very likely going to vote, he didn't count you. So that's where the Democrats get lost in this poll, and that's why this is such an outlier. You know, likely voter screens have been declared by lots of different, you know, pollsters as, you know, really imperfect instruments. So when we're looking at this, you know, telephone survey, which, you know, over the years, telephone surveys have been, you know, really not successful, gone down to 9% from in 2012 from 36% in 97. So, you know, this is really an outlier. We, you know, they don't reach on these surveys a lot of people that swing Dems. So nobody should take anything for granted. I mean, I don't think Walker is even, he's advertising on this poll looking at the registered voter list. So I agree with you, Chris. This is going to be tight, and it's another poll, it's another snapshot, but this is going to go right down to the wire.
So how important, Christine, do you think President Obama's visit to Milwaukee this week to campaign with Mary Burke was?
Oh, that was so cool, wasn't it? My daughter was there. She sent me a picture of herself right in front with Obama. Mm-hmm. So it was an amazing, amazing event. Glenn Morris High School, where she's the, that's her house, she says. She's the queen of the house. She's the president of her class there. You know, really, really had people encouraged and motivated. People stood in line for hours, 4 hours to get in to see our president. And I think him coming here sends a huge message to everyone about how important turnout is. No one can be complacent. No one can say it's not that important. Everyone has to vote. I think Gwen Moore told the people, you know, this election isn't going to be decided by millionaires who give a lot of money. It's going to be decided by the voters. So was it important? Absolutely. Chris is right. This is about turnout. The president is here for turnout. And so having him here was a great honor.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was... Was that a good for Mary Burke, Chris?
I'm sure it was for her in parts of Milwaukee. His numbers are kind of underwater too, so I don't know how much you want to rush to Barack Obama's side at this point in time. I mean, history shows that certainly on the national level, the party in power in the White House will pay the price during the midterms, and it certainly looks like the Democrats are poised to you know, have their hides whipped a little bit at the polls next week nationally. I still think, despite everything that Christine was saying a moment ago, I do think that it is ultimately Scott Walker's to lose. I think he's in a position to win. I do think it'll be tight, maybe separated by a few points, but, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but do feel confident about it. You know, President Barack Obama and Bill Clinton was here a few days before, and, you know, it's that kind of last minute hoping that some star power is gonna rub off on you. I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't know that it moves a lot of people. And I think as a state, both parties are pretty dug in right now, and they're kind of playing to the middle. And I don't see, you know, bringing Barack Obama in, who's a pretty divisive president, is really playing to the middle all that effectively.
I do a lot of work, not just doing this show and doing other things for the party, but, you know, we also make a lot of phone calls up here in the north, and you know, we have people. I have people, you know, that I work with that are just fantastic volunteers, and we're calling all the people in central Wisconsin to see if they're going to get out and vote. And people are very motivated. It's not just Milwaukee, and people up here, you know, feel very motivated. They know who Scott Walker is. They've had enough, and they want to vote. So we're going to have a great turnout. I don't think Scott Walker has anything that he should say, this is his to lose. This is, I guess it is his to lose.
I certainly wouldn't say that Scott Walker is sitting around going, hey, I got this one in the bag. I don't think they are going to rest until the polls are closed and you know, AP has declared him the winner. I mean, I think that it is a tight race, and they can't take anything for granted. And they're going to both keep going right up to the last minute because they need to.
They're even going to be in Wausau today. Did you know that, Joy?
I thought
Walker's in Wausau
with Chris Christie. Isn't he coming?
Yeah.
To so what about you know, does Governor Walker need New Jersey Governor Christie to campaign for him?
You know, both campaigns, and this always happens in statewide races. They bring out the quote unquote star power, and Christie, you know, certainly has that. He has a national stage. He's a potential presidential candidate. oh, to be a fly on the wall on that bus with the two of them sitting around talking about what's going on. You know, so it's a good thing. I think that, you know, again, I don't know that it moves a lot of people. It perhaps solidifies and reminds people to get out and vote. These guys, both Mary Burke and Scott Walker, are going to be covered by the media no matter where they go and show up at this point. So, you know, it helps Scott Walker to have a new story to tell on statewide TV in these closing days. And Chris Christie's a good campaigner, and he's a charismatic guy who has great things to say about Scott Walker. So,
well, I'd like to say that, you know, I think Chris Christie is a bully, and I don't think he's charismatic at all to most people, but, you know, maybe if you like bullies. But I think that what Walker said and what was quoted in Politico this week, which is an amazing thing, he said, Christie's coming because he asked if he could come, and we weren't going to say no. And then he said, but we're not looking for surrogates. The people that have been campaigning with me are by and large from Wisconsin. And so now we have a former governor from Mississippi, Haley Barbour, coming to Wausau, and he's going to freeze to death. And he's not used to this. And also Chris Christie. So, you know, what's going on? He doesn't need surrogates? I guess he does. You know, it shows that you're right, Chris. He's going to campaign up to the very end, and he's bringing these governors, you know, one who some would argue has got under investigation as ethically challenged, and the other is a former...
Wow, you're going to go there? What about Bill Clinton? Holy cow. You want to talk about under investigation? I mean, you know, it's going to be like when if we talk about money later on and who's raising the most millions, you know, this idea that, you know, these guys, the Democrats, are ethically pure, and it's those filthy Republicans sitting on all that filthy lucre that, you know, we ought to be afraid of. You know, neither side is clean here, and the idea that, you know, well, I'm going to point fingers at Chris Christie and Haley Barbour. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton was here, and he's above reproach is, you know, come on, disingenuous, Christine.
Whoa. Well, you want to go there on investigations, I'll take you on any day, Chris. But let's talk about Bill Clinton is someone that is generally beloved by Democrats, I don't think that Chris Christie is beloved by Republicans.
Well, look, you're right. And Scott Walker is beloved by Republicans in Wisconsin, and that's going to make the difference come Tuesday.
Oh, we'll see about that.
The Wisconsin Government Accountability Board is predicting a 56.5% voter turnout on Tuesday. Gab says that this turnout will be similar to the 2012 gubernatorial recall election, but that's much less than the 2012 presidential election, which saw a 70% turnout. Christine, do Democrats need that 70% turnout in order to make inroads?
Nope, we need 58%, and I think we'll easily have that, and I think that if we look at the voting up north here, when I talk to our local clerks, what I'm learning is that they're expecting much bigger than Kevin Kennedy is saying. Our local clerk told me that they expected 40% early voting and 40% at the polls, so, you know, 70% is voter turnout for a presidential, but I think we're going to have at least 57-59%. And so, you know, it's going to be quite a race. You know, the highest estimates in terms of turnouts for voters, the highest ever was 4.3 million voters they're looking at, and the highest percentage they've had so far in this election is 52.4. So, in a November election, so we're looking at much higher than normal. And I think, from our perspective, it's going to be a high turnout, and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Quick prediction on that, Chris.
All the indications are that it is going to be a high turnout, perhaps the highest ever in a gubernatorial election, a regular election, not, you know, counting the recall. I think what works in Scott Walker's favor is the polling that shows something of a passion gap between Republicans and Democrats that favors Walker, that Republicans are more fired up about electing Scott Walker than Democrats are in electing Mary Burke. So if a race is going to be as close as everybody thinks it will be, it's those kinds of indicators that suggest that Walker is, you know, potentially poised to win this one on Tuesday. So, you know, going back to what we said earlier, it's all about turnout, but, you know, those folks who are most fired up to get out and vote, you know, Scott Walker has been in the last 4 years, a battle-tested candidate. I mean, he is a guy who knows what he needs to do statewide to win, and I think has executed a very strong, effective campaign. And I think he's, you know, again, don't want to jinx it, but things are looking good for Tuesday.
He's battle-tested because a million people filed a recall petition against him because they were
and
so
still couldn't knock him out. Christine, come on.
Oh yeah, that's right. They were unhappy with him, and he's divided the state. People know him. And so I think it was one thing to win a recall where people didn't think it was fair to recall him before he served his 4 years. It's another thing to win 4 years. And I think this this latest smear campaign on Mary Burke is going to energize a lot of people.
They know Scott Walker, and they don't know Mary Burke, and that's one of the problems.
We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will talk about what Christine just referred to as a smear campaign. Governor Scott Walker says he had nothing to do with allegations that his Democratic opponent, Mary Burke, was fired from her job at the family business Truck Bicycles back in 1993. We'll talk more about that charge, which Mary Burke and Truck deny. And we'll welcome your input, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is The Week in Review. Today we are talking with Chris Lotto and Christine Bremer-Moogley. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Week in Review. Today we are talking with Chris Lotto, former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Christine Bremer-Moogley, an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, and a representative to the Democratic National Committee. And we are welcoming the issue that happened in the news this week that you would like to discuss, 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's talk about, I guess, what some people are calling an October surprise. The story that Mary Burke was fired from Trek for incompetence. The Wisconsin Reporter, a conservative news outlet website, ran the story this week and cited former Trek officials who said she was fired. Burke denies the claim, saying that these are former workers with axes to grind. They have ties to the Republican Party. They have axes to grind, she says. Chris Lotto, what's your assessment of this this accusation just, less than a week before the election?
Sure. Well, first, the more important question you asked a minute ago, vampires versus zombies. Vampires win, hands down.
Okay.
So, well, it was quite an October surprise. It feels in some ways like, and I know Christine will agree, and just give me a minute to lay this out, the dagger in the heart of the Burke campaign, a campaign that's been really struggling to find its footing with the plagiarism of the jobs plan and her, I would say, lack of skill, let's say, on the campaign trail. But there are two sides to every story, of course, and Mary Burke has her own story. But, you know, between this, the Corey Nettles email calling her, you know, her predecessor at Commerce, calling her a disaster, quote unquote, as Commerce Secretary. I think there are legitimate questions being raised about her ability to lead and her record, not only at Trek, but also as part of the Doyle administration, which certainly is not a record of success, no matter how you slice it. I think one of the more interesting parts of this story is, what we've heard about Mary Burke's leadership style, which pretty unanimously paints her as having a real my way or the highway style. And for all their claims, like when Bill Clinton came here the other day and talked about her being a uniter, not a divider, that's not what we're hearing from people who work with her. So I think that, and even folks who would otherwise be sympathetic to her don't necessarily paint her as somebody who would be a uniter. So, this idea that she's going to come in and make everybody feel good about each other again, I think it may be a misnomer. You know, the other point to consider here is if Mary Burke was such a big success at Trek and she was making them so much money and Europe was doing so well under her tenure, then the company made a really boneheaded decision of downsizing her by eliminating her job position. Why would they do that if she's doing so well for them? You know, and that's kind of the way Mary Burke herself is spinning that story, and it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, Christine.
Well, you know, it's nice to hear talking points from you, Chris, but they just don't add up here either. You know, when you talk about, first of all, you have to mention plagiarism, and, you know, we all know that if you are a student at all, you know that what happened with Mary Burke's jobs plan was certainly not plagiarism. So this was something that was written by one man, and he was a consultant to numerous campaigns, and it was a great idea shared by other great campaigns. He wrote it. It wasn't plagiarism. Second of all, with regard to this Corey Nettles comment calling Mary Burke a disaster, which the talking point geared Republicans like to keep repeating, they don't like to remind people that Corey Nettles has disavowed that statement. He looked at her full term as Commerce Secretary, and he said he would absolutely disavow that statement. She was far from a disaster. And finally, when we hear people say things about Mary Burke's, you know, style as a leader, you know, it's things like Pitbull and things that people say about strong women who are leaders in companies. They don't say them about men. And when you talk about someone who's going to say my way or the highway, is there any better example of that than Scott Walker? So, you know, I think that it's fine in Scott Walker, he's a man, but we're talking about a woman here, so we can't say that. So I just think this whole thing is geared toward a smear campaign. You know, Mary Burke, you know, her job, when she went out over to Europe, if you take the time to read, you know, her biography and understand what she was doing there, when she went over to Europe, it was to expand Trek. You know, and when she did that, she was able to reorganize the European offices. She's a strategic thinker. She's a strategic planner. She was trained at Harvard. And so she got it reorganized. When it was completed, you know, she was working huge hours. And when it was completed and the reorganization was done, she took off a couple years and went back to the company. Now, she was fired. Would her brother have brought her back 2 years later? It just doesn't make sense. This is a smear. You know, they started out this campaign smearing Trek, saying they were outsourcing jobs, and they're ending this campaign smearing a great Wisconsin company. We shouldn't tolerate this. This is infuriating people, and I think they should be ashamed of bringing this forward. And Walker can't back himself away from this. His own campaign manager made a comment about it in the press. Now, once again, trying to allude to the fact that Mary Burke was not vetted properly. You know, it's hard. I don't want to take all
well,
the time.
Well, Christine, I mean, okay, you're filibustering now.
If we look at, well, just one final thing. If we look at careers, let's look at career politician Scott Walker, who has never been in the private sector except for a few months. He worked for American Red Cross and then was a career politician his whole life. He's never run any government, any private company. So it's just amazing that they would attack Mary Burke.
Yeah, well, that's stunning. She is painting herself as somebody who's going to do a better job than Scott Walker on creating jobs and rebuilding the economy.
Absolutely.
So let's look at the record. We're looking at her record of quote-unquote success at Trek Bicycles, and we're looking at her record as part of the Doyle administration. Those are legitimate points to discuss. And without Trek actually putting information out there that says, oh yeah, when she says she turned it from a $3 million to a $50 million economic powerhouse and then got fired for it, apparently, got downsized as a result of her success, that doesn't make any sense. You know, and you talk about a candidate not being well vetted. I think from early on, we knew that there was not the Democrats were not universally embracing Mary Burke. I mean, it's this weird sort of, you know, we're against the 1% until we have somebody who can finance her own campaign to the tune of $5 million, and then suddenly we're all about it. You know, the same people who can take a 2-year snowboarding sabbatical that most folks in Wisconsin can only dream
another
about doing.
Talking point, Chris. You know, when we talk about, you know, these kinds of comments, they're just ridiculous. Mary Burke, they restructured it. She finished her restructuring job that she had when she went over to Europe. She took off 2 years. So what? She went snowboarding. I would too if I could. She worked her tail off. She took off a couple years, went back to the company
years.
Once again, and then she came back to the company in 1995. And then when she came back to the company, she very successfully developed a strategy for Trek that makes it one of the powerhouses that it is today. And people in Wisconsin love this company. And if you want to keep attacking Trek, you're crazy.
Christine, we don't know that she was a success. We have zero evidence of that. All we know is what we're being told by you.
Her brother said she was a success. But in any case, let me jump in with the Mary Burke said at a campaign stop that this is one of Governor Walker's attempts to, in the last minutes of the campaign, some sort of character assassination here. The governor saying, I had nothing to do with this. Chris Lotto, in terms of fair campaigning, is it fair for this kind of a bombshell story to come out 5 days before the election?
Yeah, I don't even know in on something like this when you're talking about people's records, whether, you know, fairness enters into it. I mean, this is a tight, close campaign, and these are the issues that we are going to discuss. We are going to discuss Scott Walker's record on job creation. Just like Christine, I'm sure, would talk about, hey, you know, he promised creating 250,000 jobs and he didn't get there. Therefore, he's a failure. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at Mary Burke's record as Commerce Secretary under Jim Doyle and say, well, hey, we lost more than 100,000 jobs. Well, there's part of the record. We're going to take a look at Trek Bicycles and say, okay, well, she supposedly, you know, turned it from a $3 million to a $50 million success story. But, you know, then she got downsized for doing such a great job. You know, and whether Scott Walker was directly involved in it, and I doubt he was, is kind of immaterial. It's a discussion of records and it's a discussion of experiences.
I guess what Christine, what I was getting at is that the Commerce Secretary record came out very early in the campaign of the former Trek executive who's with the Jefferson County Republican Party. Why didn't he bring that up early?
Yeah, there have been others. I mean, you know, I think his name is Tom Albers, the former COO of the company, and you know Gary Ellerman. Yeah, he's a Republican. He's my county party chairman in Jefferson County.
Shame on you.
Well, wait a minute. In terms of why this had to come out now, if he obviously knew this since leaving Trek.
Yeah, we're hearing that, you know, people were aware of this, this for months. It's an October surprise. It's a bombshell that, for whatever reason, is coming out now. Sure, it could have come out months ago. It has people talking in the final days of the campaign. I mean, it is, you know, whether you like it or not, it is bare knuckles campaigning.
Joy, this comes out when Mary Burke's poll ratings go way up. So Walker starts to panic, and he gets this
50-43 is not way up, Christine. I don't know what world you're living in.
Last week, the last poll, her numbers were way up, and Scott Walker's were way down, and Walker starts to panic. So then we get the Wisconsin Reporter, who does this. It's not a news reporting organization. It's just a bunch of articles that this right-leaning journal puts out, and they are funded in part by the Bradley Foundation, which is reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the Bradley Foundation is run by the former chairman of Scott Walker's campaign in 2010 and 2012. So why does this come out now? Why do they put them up to this now? Because it is going to be a smear campaign at the end of a campaign, like you said, Joy, when there is not time for people to really vet this and get the story out and let her discuss it. You know, this could have been discussed at the debate or one of the debates, but no, they bring it out now. That's unethical. Walker is not walking back from this. His own campaign manager said in Dan Bice's report article about this that Mary Burke was admitting she was let go from her father's company. You know, they're not walking back from this. They're not saying this isn't fair. They're saying, yeah, let's go for this. And I think it is an absolute smear, and it's really motivating Democrats to get out because this shows the real Scott Walker we all know and love.
Ellen on Facebook writes, I question the credibility of the report in the Wisconsin Reporter when you don't name your sources and the one you do name gives facts about Trek dating back to after his firing. That sounds more like sour grapes than fact, Chris.
Both of the two people who are quoted, Ellerman and Albers, were longtime employees of Trek. In some cases, were around for far longer than after Mary Burke left. I want to say in one case, I think Ellerman was there until 2004. You have the other guy who was the former COO and president. And yeah, you know, take a look at their backgrounds and weigh that. Okay, they have Republican ties in one case. The guy's a county party chairman. The other one admitted that he gave, you know, money to Republican candidates. So yeah, as the Journal Sentinel brought up this week, consider the source. That's yeah. fair to do. Look at all, Christine, please. Mm-hmm. You know, be willing to, you know, dig into it and look at it and decide for yourself. I think in part this kind of exposes sort of a failure on the part of I hate to say the media. I was part of the media way back when, but I mean, how much have we really dug into Mary Burke's record, and really taken a critical look at it? And maybe that the media is being led around in the final days of the campaign by a bombshell like this, when perhaps these stories should have been out there months ago. Clearly, people were aware of it months ago. So you know, maybe there was more needed to be done to kind of vet her as a candidate, just in the public eye, not just among you know, Democratic Party circles.
Christine. Mary Burke was fully vetted in the public eye, and this story is falsehood. This guy Ellerman was fired by Trek in 2004. He won an award from in 2013. This man, who has a Facebook page that's so shameful, he took it down after he was exposed for what he had put up on it. This Facebook page, I don't know, people can't see it anymore, but, I mean, he's calling Obama a homosexual. He's calling our First Lady a man. He's saying that... that people that support Obama are supporting criminal activity. I mean, this guy is a nightmare, and he gets an award from the Republican Party that was given to him at the convention in 2013 by Ryan and Walker. So tell me he doesn't owe something back, and that's why we see this. I mean, this guy is a disaster. So, you know, when we have reports like this coming out at the very end, and we're having people who have been, who owe something to the Republican Party, who are part of the Republican Party, and hold it at the very end till 5 days before the election, there's only one thing you can say about it. It's a smear. It's a McCarthy-era smear, and we should not tolerate it. And I know that the Democrats that are motivated by this are going to do everything they can to get everyone they know to get out to vote and not put up with this kind of stuff.
A caller, Lynette in Milwaukee, would like to join the conversation. Hello, Lynette.
Hi. You know, first of all, I want to say this Trek thing is not important to me as a voter. It seems, as the lady just said, this is a guy who's, to me, in my opinion, based on what was on the Facebook page, racist and extreme. And so what he has to say is no value. And I don't think it is going to, you know, impact the campaign that much. What does bother me about Mary Burke is she hasn't been strong enough as a campaigner. You know, she didn't answer Scott Walker's plagiarism claim strong enough with the fact that he plagiarized the language from Act 10. The Koch brothers funded model language all through the country on union busting. He used all of that language. I mean, talk about a plagiarizer. And she did not effectively communicate her educational and work experience difference, which is alluded to. Scott Walker, as he said, is a career politician who's never run a thing in his life and whose whole ambition seems to be president at the expense of the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you very much, Lynette. We're coming up on break. Chris Lotto is in the scheme of things, this report on Trek going to make a difference in the campaign. Lynette says it doesn't matter to her.
Yeah, I was waiting for Lynette's question, and she dropped in Koch brothers. I was waiting for the Fox News reference there. She didn't hit all her talking points. Christine.
All right, Chris, finish your comment, and then Christine follow.
I'm trying to be polite and let you talk, and you're not doing the same. I think it will matter to some. I think you know, Ellerman is one thing. I think Tom Albers is another. I do agree that. It, you know, people can be, you know, question the timing of this at the last minute. It was clearly meant to be a bombshell to rattle people and move whoever may have been on the fence in Scott Walker's direction. But I think at the end of the day, people understand in Wisconsin that they want to know what a candidate is going to do for them, and that they don't necessarily respond to the negative stuff. I think in their heart of hearts, when they're going to make the decision, if they haven't already, they're going to take a look at where things were at, where things are going, and which candidate they feel is the right one to address the issues they care about most, whether it is education or healthcare or the economy and making sure we have good jobs and a good education system in this state. And they're going to take a look at the records of both candidates. This may well be a part of that overall review, but I think people are looking for positivity, and they want success for this state ultimately, and they're going to say, who's going to deliver that, Scott Walker or Mary Burke?
Christine, is this going to be make a big difference?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank our caller because she points out something really great, and that is that if we're talking about quote-unquote plagiarism, then let's talk about all the bills that were put into effect by Governor Walker that were written by ALEC. And there's the plagiarism that hurts our country, and there's the plagiarism that really hurts our state. With regard to Walker, if you want to talk about, I think Chris made a good point. We have to think about what the person is going to do for us. And we have to remember that we have a $1.6 billion cut in education, the largest one in history. We have people taken off our Medicaid rolls that are without health insurance. He wants to drug test people who have children that need food stamps and need food. I mean, he wants to do these things to our state, ruin our environment, build a mine in the Pinocchio Hills, which is near and dear to me and to most people in the North, after receiving $700,000 through the Club for Growth from the Gogebic Taconite Company. I mean, this is what he's going to do for us, and you have to make your decision and say, the environment, health care, what is going to happen with our education system, cutting millions and millions of dollars out of the tech education budgets. You know, these are things that he did. He has to stand on that record. Mary Burke is not going to do those things. She's going to bring back common sense to our state. She's going to not cause teachers to want to flee the state. You know, things are going to change under a Mary Burke governorship, and I am really looking forward to it.
We have to take another break, and we'll continue talking about state politics as we quickly approach the November election. We'll talk more about the race for governor and issues in the race for governor, but I also want to get our guest to weigh in on the race for attorney general in Wisconsin. And we'll take more of your calls, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We also have coming up a spooky Week in Review quiz for this Halloween edition of the Week in Review. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with two guests from different perspectives about the top issues in the news this week, talking mainly about the latest developments in the race for governor in Wisconsin. And we will also talk about the race for Wisconsin Attorney General and any other contest or issue that you want to talk about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's talk about Mary Burke this week voted against raising property taxes as a member of the Madison School Board. She says she couldn't support increasing taxes on taxpayers who are being squeezed. So, Chris, what do you make of this?
Well, it's about as transparent a pandering move as you can get in the days before the election. It's certainly not defensible or something anyone could seriously call her position on the issue of taxes. Her record before becoming a candidate shows she voted for tax increases on the school board, including in 2012. And the kicker is she voted against the tax hike and then voted in favor of giving teachers a pay raise. So how's she gonna pay for that exactly? What happens there? It doesn't make sense except as a double dose of pandering right before the voters go to the polls. What we know is in 2012, she voted for a preliminary school budget that included a 5% increase in the property levy. In October of that year, she voted for the final budget, and that reduced the tax increase to 1.8%, raised the levy by the maximum allowed under state imposed limits. Now in 2013, when she started running for governor, she changed course. You know, back in 2012, I think taxpayers were being squeezed too, 2 years ago, and apparently what, she wasn't concerned about them then? It doesn't make any sense.
Christine.
Well, we talk about pandering, I think that's kind of funny when we have a governor who gave away the state's security by giving us a tax break that, essentially gives middle-class families an amount of money to buy a pizza every month and gives millionaires much more of a tax break. I guess that's a talking point, sorry. But still, it's pandering, and so this isn't pandering. I'm a former school board member, proudly stated, and I will tell you these votes are hard. And if you look at the record on her vote, the votes that she made were very consistent. When she first voted for the school budget, there was a 5% increase to the property levy when the school enrollment went up. After that, the enrollments were not going up as much. She voted for the first one. The tax increase was only 1.8%. And then afterwards, when the tax increases went much higher than that, 4.5%, she voted against them. She's saying, look, she's in this now. She sees what across the whole state, not just in her Madison, but she sees it now very clearly, what these cuts have done to education. Their money has not been restored. They cannot afford what they need to do, and yet, you know, cutting taxes or raising taxes on people is not going to help the economy. So she's doing what's responsible. You know, this is, school board votes are very, very hard. You get criticized no matter what you do. But what she did here was honest, and it was not pandering. If you want to talk about pandering, let's talk about that great tax cut that put us in a $3 billion structural deficit, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Marquette poll, which showed Republican Brad Schimmel with a 39% lead over Democrat Susan Happ in the race for Wisconsin Attorney General. Christine, let's start with you on this. You're an attorney. What's your take on the race for AG?
Well, it's really close, isn't it? I mean, you know, Susan Happ is a very exciting candidate. You know, she really energizes people. She's not the average attorney general, you know, the woman that comes riding in on her Harley and says when she was a wrestler in grade school, she beat up the boys and made them cry. So, you know, she's something. She's tough, and she's not going to relent in this campaign. So, you know, I think that what's been really interesting for me as a lawyer has been watching this fight to get the tapes released of whatever Brad Schimmel said when he was teaching prosecutors about, you know, sexual predators, I guess. And Judge Neese has now ordered from Dane County, he's ordered it released. Unless there's an appeal by Friday, it'll be released at noon. I think that, you know, let's see what happened there. I've talked to prosecutors who were attending those sessions, and they said there were some very inappropriate things said. And I think that when a race is tight, you know, he's got to stand by his public record, and let's see what it was. But, you know, it could go either way on this. I think that people are trying to figure this out. They aren't maybe paying a lot of attention to it, but they need to.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, these videos supposedly contain all these bombshells. I don't even think we need to go negative here. I think when you just look at the level of experience that both candidates have, and I need to be careful because, you know, Susan Happ is my DA in Jefferson County. I don't want to get in any trouble.
Yeah,
right? I got to watch my P's and Q's. I think just if you look at the level of experience, and Brad Schimmel has a quarter century as a prosecutor, more than 150 jury trials, you know, this is not a race that is on a lot of people's radar screens, frankly. And I have a feeling that it could go either way. You know, we have a history of split tickets in Wisconsin. And is it possible that people could go to the polls, vote for Scott Walker, and then say, I want to balance the ticket with a, you know, with a woman or with a Democrat, so I'm going to vote for Susan Happ? That could happen. Most people don't know these candidates well, if at all. The vast majority don't. So this is a tight one, but I think when you just look at just the record of experience without the videotapes and the lawsuits and all the other sideshow nonsense that's going on, I think Brad Schimmel has the depth and breadth of experience to be an effective attorney general for Wisconsin, and he obviously would have my vote, and I think that he deserves to be our next AG.
Let me ask you both whether or not you think Democrats have a chance of taking control of the state Senate. Obviously, Democrats are hoping to do that with some open seats that are up for election. And I'm wondering, Christine, if you think that's possible.
So, Joy, was your question, do Democrats have a chance?
Yes.
Well, I think that, of course, they have a chance. And we've got some really exciting candidates. I mean, I think Penny Bernard Schaber is someone who is just beloved over in the Fox Valleys, and she's been working so hard. She started out against Mike Ellis, and then the candidates changed, of course. But she's in a very good position to take that seat. And then you've got Dale Schultz's seat with the young Pat Bomhack, who is a young attorney. He's you know, he's a really tall guy. He's really bright, and he is really caring. And Dale Schultz, I believe, believes that his positions are more closely aligned with Dale's positions as a very successful senator in that district. And, you know, if you look at the polling in that district, it's really, you know, almost a suburb of Dane County now, and there's a lot of people that lean more left than they have in the past. So I think we could take that one for sure. The 17th would be great to take. And then finally, the one I really like to talk about is Martha Lanning, who is from Sheboygan, a community organizer, a fundraiser, well-known in the community, very intelligent woman, very articulate, and would be a fantastic addition to the state Senate. So those are three that I think we could easily take, and I'm hoping for victory in that regard.
Chris, what do you think?
There's some suspense here. I don't think Democrats have it in the bag. Clearly, the Assembly is going to stay with the Republicans. This is a House that changes hands regularly and has over the last, 20, 30 years. I think Christine mentioned the Baumhack Howard Markline race in southwest Wisconsin for Dale Schultz's seat, and I think that's the one to watch. You know, Baumhack was the Democrat Party leader's handpicked choice. Not all Dems were on board, and not all Dems are on board to this day. There was a real ugly intra-party battle in the primary that left a bad taste in a lot of folks' mouths. What we're kind of seeing and hearing on the ground is that Markline is working very hard in the district, and Baumhack isn't. So I think, you know, if you're looking for one to really watch, that could, you know, swing it either way. I think Republicans are in a good position to hold on to that seat.
Well, we have a Halloween themed quiz question for you this week. Here it is. The owners of the most haunted site in Wisconsin, it was dubbed the most haunted place in Wisconsin by paranormal researcher Chad Lewis, who happened to be our guest this morning from 6 until 7. Summer Wind Mansion is the most haunted site in Wisconsin, and the owners are seeking funds to resurrect this massive house that once stood there. Where is Summer Wind Mansion? Where in Wisconsin is Summer Wind Mansion? 1-800-642-1234. We ask you to call in with your guess. If you are correct, you will win a fabulous prize. Actually, I think we have pens and bottle openers, and we can send you a lovely gift. If you want to guess, where is Summer Wind Mansion in Wisconsin, considered the most haunted site in Wisconsin? It burned to the ground in the late 90s, but its current owners are trying to raise funds to restore it to its previous haunted glory. All right, so we have a guess. We'll go to Carrie in Rhinelander. Hello, Carrie.
Hi there.
Where in Wisconsin is Summer Wind Mansion?
Well, I happen to know right where it's at because I was there last night.
Ooh, you were?
And it is on the shores of West Bay Lake near Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin.
That is correct. You are a winner. And how was it? Were you spooked out? Did anything scary happen?
Well, I've known about Summer Wind for many, many years, and I've read a book related to it, but I've never been there until last night. I didn't myself find anything spooky about it, but the property, the foundation, what remains of the building there is absolutely incredible. It's huge. And for historical value alone, I would definitely be in favor of rebuilding it because it is a really, really neat place in Wisconsin. A true gem of the North Woods, if you will.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Appreciate it. You are a winner. I'm going to put you back on hold. And Brianne, we'll get your contact information and we'll send you a prize. That's right. It is in Land O'Lakes. And again, as mentioned, according to author and paranormal investigator Chad Lewis, Summer Wind was built in the early 1900s as a fishing lodge on West Bay Lake. It was remodeled in 1916. It turns out that the owners thought the place was haunted. They even one night shot at what they thought was an intruder, only to find that no one was there. So lots of other spooky happenings at Summer Wind, which we don't have time to go into right now. So personal or political, Chris, what's your biggest fear?
Political, Governor Mary Burke. Personal, werewolves.
Werewolves. All right, Christine, your biggest fear, personal and or political.
Okay, well, personal would be, I really am afraid of ghosts, and I have to. I'm looking at the Summerwood Mansion; it's terrifying me on Facebook. with regard to political, oh my God, waking up on November 5th and thinking we could have done a little bit more and Mary would have won.
Well, we will see what happens. Thank you both very much for being with us. Happy Halloween. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.